From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead of 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Prado, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zipessa. Zipessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Mumta Hedge is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mumta Hedge is a globalized class act. He wins the autumn again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. IRAP is third in the inside. Taproot is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Now just 27 days, 6 hours, and 23 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar. And it doesn't get much more simple than what we see this weekend in the world of racing. Win, and you are in. Not too hard, JT.
No, it's relatively easy if you can pull it off.
If you can pull it off. Well, we saw a couple of horses yesterday that pulled it off. By the way, 13 Breeders' Cup Challenge races scheduled starting yesterday, then today and tomorrow between Keeneland here in Lexington, Belmont in New York, and Santa Anita in Arcadia, California. Two of those were contested yesterday here on opening day of the Keeneland Fall Meet in the Bluegrass. The Phoenix Stakes, which was a win in your in for the Twin Spires Sprint, that went to Whitmore for trainer Ron Moquette, Manny Franco, the jockey, and owners Robert LaPenta, Southern Equine Stables, and Head of Plains Partners. So congratulations to the connections of Whitmore. The Darley Alcibiades, which is a win in your in for the Juvenile Fillies, was won by Heavenly Love, trained by Mark Cassie, ridden by Julian Leperoux, and racing in the colors of Debbie Oxley.
Yeah, that was quite a powerful victory in the Alcibiades, and that filly's going places. Great to see Whitmore win another one. He's such a cool horse. And
you loved him yesterday.
I did, because, you know, he got a little break. It was unfortunate, but he was on an airplane flight and was pawing and hurt his hoof. So he got a little break, and he came back. I thought he ran a decent race in his comebacker, and a lot of people were down on him because he'd been out of the money in his last two starts, but he'd only been third. He was in the money, but he was third. So, you know, he trained great up to this race, and he was super game. He was up closer early than I thought he would be. Mm-hmm. But he had enough at the finish. He just gutted it out like he always does, and it was great to watch.
Yeah, exciting time to be a racing fan for sure. Four more Breeders' Cup Challenge races at Keeneland this afternoon, two at Belmont, one at Santa Anita. You're going to hear the Keeneland races and the Belmont races right here exclusively with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. A programming note for those of you tuning in on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, that coverage at 4 Eastern will be on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's Sirius XM 93. Of course, on affiliates across the country and streaming worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Jude, let's start with the Keeneland races this afternoon, and let's talk about some of those Saturday storylines, so to speak. Miss Temple City, she's back to defend her title and try to take down the boys again in the Shadwell Turf Mile. Trainer Dale Romans, well, he'll be in search of his fourth victory in the 104th running of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity when he sends out morning line favorite Free Drop Billy. We're going to hear from Dale later in the program. And oh, by the way, that's still going to leave him two wins shy of Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas, who owns a record 6 wins in that Breeders' Futurity.
Yeah, that's quite a race of Breeders' Futurity. Long history. A lot of good horses have come out of that race. And, you know, good luck to Dale. I mean, he's got a horse that looks like he's going places. But that's not an easy field. There's a few question marks in there, a lot of horses trying two turns for the first time, that type of thing. But it's a very competitive race, and if Dale's horse wins, he certainly will be amongst the top horses looking forward to the Kentucky Derby.
How about Miss Temple City in that Shadwell Turf Mile? Tough race, but as we know, she's the defending champ, and she fits. On her day, she can beat anybody.
Well, like I told somebody the other day, I never like her on paper.
Yeah.
I like her when she runs because she outruns her figures. She's a very, very tough mare, and her record speaks for itself. She won this race last year. This year's event might be a little tougher. I'm not sure about that, but she is training like a machine. She's bigger, stronger than ever, and I think if you really study her form, you'll see that after she had a winter break, she went to Ascot off no preps. She always was in races where it rained, took them off the turf, or the ground was really soft, which she doesn't particularly care for. So I kind of threw that race out. Then she ran a mile and an eighth in the Matchmaker at Monmouth and really ran well, but got a little tired at the end. It's a little farther than she likes to go, and she got no fitness out of that race at Ascot. So that, to me, was like her first real race of the year. Then last time at Kentucky Downs, it looked like she was heading head down the lane, but she was really kind of breezing. Zepesa ran a great race, but I thought she won the ladies' turf rather easily. And now she should be dead fit. I mean, she galloped like a machine on Thursday when I saw her train. And we'll just, see what happens. But it's a tough race. There's a lot of good horses. Soudois coming from Europe, and Mondialiste, who always runs hard. Heart to Heart, who's as game as they come. And
yep,
he may make an easy lead. Who knows? I think she'll get a good trip right behind him, and we'll see what happens at the end.
Jockey Julien Leperu, who is always tough at Keeneland, pulled off the hat trick with three victories yesterday on opening day. He will be back looking to add to his record five victories in the First Lady Stakes later today when he gets a leg up aboard Hawksmoor for trainer Arnaud Delacour. That race, highly contentious. You could go a lot of different ways, but Hawksmoor is one of the ones to take a look at, and we're going to talk more about that race as we move throughout the show here this morning. Very quickly, before we get to our first commercial break, Jude, some good ones in New York, too, that we'll have as part of our coverage later today. The 146th running of the Champagne, a big field, no clear-cut favorite, but we get a great rematch between Good Magic, trained by Chad Brown, and Has It, who is trained by Todd Pletcher, who, oh, by the way, defeated Good Magic in their debut, the only time that either one of them has ever raced. Good Magic, 7-2 on the morning line, however.
Yeah, I don't understand how Has It's not favored over him. I mean, he beat him.
Yep.
I told somebody yesterday that every year I fall in love with a horse at Saratoga, a two-year-old, and sometimes it's Big Brown or Uncle Mo, and sometimes it's Realm. So
yeah,
I fell in love with Has It this year. He's a beautiful horse. He's athletic. He just has a beautiful stride, and he was $430,000 OBS purchase. So obviously he ticked a lot of boxes. But he's a gorgeous animal, and I really am high on him. And it was interesting. I looked to see what he was in the future book. That's how high on him I was. He was only 100-1.
That's all?
Yeah, it's October. He's only 100-1.
100-1's not good enough for you?
No, not in October. The race
is
until May.
You won't take 100-1.
No, I won't take 100-1. That's too short of a price.
For every $1 that you bet.
I understand. But the thing is, evidently, I'm not the only sharp guy in town. 100-1, I mean, I was looking for like 250 or 300-1.
Huge underlay.
100-1.
All right, well, here's what's coming up over the course of, oh, by the way, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, that historic race, the 99th running, also at Belmont today. All eyes on Keen Ice as he is the likely favorite in that race, and we'll see if Keen Ice can win a second race in his last three starts and punch his ticket, of course, to the Breeders' Cup. All right, poll question for this morning. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed at HRN Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook as well. Which of these morning line favorites in the stakes races today is most vulnerable? We're looking for a long shot from HRN Nation. So which of these is most vulnerable? You have Finley's Lucky Charm here at Keeneland in the Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes, 3-5 on the morning line. So Finley's Lucky Charm. You have Free Drop Billy, who is the likely favorite in the Breeders' Futurity. He's 2-1 on the morning line. And then Keen Ice in the Gold Cup at odds of 9 to 5, and then the fourth choice will be other. So you can choose either Finley's Lucky Charm, Free Drop Billy, Keen Ice, or other. And if you choose other, please let us know which horse you feel in the stakes race today is the most vulnerable, at least the morning line favorite that is the most vulnerable. That's our poll question at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, very quickly, before we get to our first break, here's what's coming up. When we return, we're going to be joined by Walker Hancock of Claiborne Farm. Walker will not only talk about the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity and that partnership, he'll also talk about a couple of their runners that they have on the in the stakes races prior to that race at Keeneland later this afternoon. You're going to hear my one-on-one interview with Dwayne Lucas, which was an awful lot of fun to do yesterday afternoon. I think you'll enjoy that. Stay tuned for Dwayne coming up right around 8:30 Eastern. Ken McPeak will be with us at 8:47 Eastern time. And then in hour number two, we handicap all the weekend's big stakes races with Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, and Steve Castagnola. They will be with us in studio yet again, 20-plus years running, and looking forward to that second half of the show. We're back to visit with Walker Hancock next on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
When it comes to picking winners at the racetrack, information is vital. And having information that your fellow players don't can lead to big payoffs. Biasbook.net is a must-have handicapping tool for all horse players. Biasbook.net does the hard work for you, identifying horses that ran with and against the bias. Now through Breeders' Cup, an exclusive offer only for HRRN listeners. Enter promo code HRRN and receive a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription at Biasbook.net, your source for the bias horse.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Join us for Jim McKay Maryland Million Day, Saturday, October 21st at Laurel Park. Come with friends and family to Maryland's Day at the Races. It's a celebration of Maryland's horses and lots of fun for all ages. First post is 12:15 with 11 exciting races. And don't miss the first annual hat contest with three categories and wonderful prizes. Join in the fun today at Laurel Park. For more information, visit MarylandMillion.com or MarylandRacing.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Into Mischief is North America's emerging top sire, the world's leading two-year-old sire in 2016, and America's leading three-year-old sire in 2017, with his biggest and best crops still to come.
Vickers in trouble!
By Jack in the ascendancy late.
Into Mischief, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Pluvin is the leader with Miss Temple City drawing alongside. And then Tourist, who's third, just over a quarter mile out. Grand Arch looks for room fourth toward the inside. Then What of You, Ring Weekend, who swings out to the center of the course, six lengths off the lead. Miss Temple City is the leader. What of You needs room. Tourist is there on the outside. And still Pluvin fighting on down toward the inside. Miss Temple City with the lead in the final furlong of the Shadwell Turf Mile. And here comes a late charge from Ironicus, way out on the grandstand side. Miss Temple City, Ironicus charging. Miss Temple City appeared to hang on with the head bob from Ironicus in 1 minute 37 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN. Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Shadwell Turf Mile. Miss Temple City victorious that day. She'll be looking for a identical result later this afternoon in that Grade 1 race, and you're going to hear it exclusively with us here on the network. Coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern, Sirius XM Channel 93, affiliates across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, that is the race following the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, and in just a moment, we're going to talk with Walker Hancock, who is the man behind Claiborne Farm. We'll talk about that partnership. We'll talk about some of their runners coming up on the program at Keeneland later today. But first, we want to remind you that next Sunday, October 15th, you can watch and wager on the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. That weekend, nearly $2 million in purses will be up for grabs on a card that also includes the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor and Grade 2 Nearctic Stakes. Woodbine will have large guaranteed pools as well. They'll be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. And you can give the jackpot high five a go. You can do that. It's a wager with huge, huge potential for big pool payouts. For more information, simply visit WoodbineRacetrack.com. Walker, happy Breeders' Cup Challenge Day, my friend. I know you'll be heading out to Keeneland to take in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity and all the other action that's happening there today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. It's going to be a good day.
Let's start with talking about this relationship that Claiborne has had, not just with this race as a sponsor, but with this race having won it, what, five times, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, pretty special. And I know that all of those were BW, right, before Walker?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't remember. hopefully I'll remember one of them soon.
Well, you certainly heard about them. I mean, your family and your farm is an institution, been in business over 100 years, and those Claiborne silks are immediately recognizable wherever they appear.
Yeah, the first time the race was actually run at Keeneland, I think it was like 1934 or 8, it was a horse that was bred by my great-grandfather and was born and raised on the farm. So we have a lot of tradition with the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity going way back.
Yeah, and the last two winners to wear the Claiborne colors, 49er in 1987, Swale in 1983, those stories that you must have heard over the years, Walker, and from your family talking about those days had to be pretty special.
Oh, yeah. You know, obviously what happened to Swale was a huge disappointment and very sad thing for us. But I know I've heard my mom and dad talk about the race 49er won at Keeneland, the Breeders' Futurity. And I've heard all the stories. I hope I get to witness one soon.
Well, you don't have a horse in this year's running, but you do have a couple of horses on the undercard races, so to speak, those graded stakes races before the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Talk about those horses for a minute.
Yeah, we're shipping in Bendable from California. You know, the TCA is a great race, a good purse, and it's either that or the LA Woman, but we figured we like running Keeneland and give her a shot. She ran well over the track here last year, so she's out for redemption, and I know Finley's Lucky Charms formidable opponent, but she's doing well, and we're excited to take her on. And then Command, he's run well all year long. He's run hard, and he got a little unlucky last time at Kentucky Downs a month ago, but he's doing well coming in the race good, and I think he's going to put in a big effort.
What's it like, Walker? You mentioned we like to win and we like to run at Keeneland. What's it like for you, considering your family history and where you are now in the sport, to walk into the paddock in your backyard at a racetrack like Keeneland? What's that like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun. You know, all your friends are there. You got a lot of the guys and girls that work on the farm. They go and watch the races. They, you know, they raise the horses, and it's fun for them. They get to see them run. And, you know, we just like running at Keeneland. It's a great organization. They do a really good job. And obviously with the tradition of my family, and Keeneland goes way back. So we like supporting the races as best we can.
Well, you've got the tradition of the gold flatware items as well. You've got the pitcher and the bowl and the platter. You're like the leader in the clubhouse, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's another reason. You know, we don't have that big of a stable, but you know, we have some that run in our colors, and you know, we're chasing that gold vase, so that's the next tier we're chasing after, and hopefully Bendable can put us one more closer to attaining that goal.
How many wins is that, Walker?
I think it's 32 stakes wins, if I'm not mistaken. I think we're four or six away. I'd have to look, but we're closing in, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a great program that Keeneland has to reward owners that have been loyal to Keeneland, and I know it's a really big deal. It's a big deal for Keeneland and for you guys, you know, your outfit just year after year produces some unbelievable horses, and whether they're horses that you race or horses that you've sold, just a lot of fantastic animals coming out of Paris, Kentucky.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have a really good crew here, and you know, we're trying to produce the best runners and winner stakes horses, as many stakes horses as we can. So thank you very much.
You know, and you have a lot to keep track of too, Walker, because even though you don't have runners, say, in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, or you don't have a runner in the race like the Champagne up at Belmont Park, there are runners in there that are by your stallions at Claiborne, and that's a really big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a Champagne winner, and hopefully reestablished himself as a dirt sire. He's kind of got a stigma of being an international turf sire, but you know, his early success was here on the dirt in America. People kind of forget that, but that horse has it. My aunt bred and was born and raised on the farm, so we'll be cheering for him because of that, but also because he's by Warfront.
What do you remember about him when he was on the farm?
Well, he was a nice colt. He was racy. We took him up to the sale. We tried to sell him as a yearling, and he didn't really do too well up there. He's always kind of looking around, and he wasn't walking the best he could. He really just didn't do well up there, and because of that, he RNA'd. But this over the winter, he went down to Robbie Harris's in Ocala, and he really flourished, and they decided to sell him, send him through the ring there, and you know, clubs bought him, and ever since then, he's been doing well, and I've talked to Aaron Wellman, and I think they're really excited about running him today.
Talking with Walker Hancock from Claiborne here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, all part of our coverage this afternoon, beginning 4 o'clock Eastern here on the network. Walker, when folks come to Keeneland, a lot of people will like to make a trip to the different horse farms around the area. Claiborne has always been so fan-friendly, so not just about the fans, but many of the breeders will make a trip out to take a look at the stallions. Are you going to have any open houses or anything along those lines that people can stop out and enjoy?
Yeah, we don't have any open houses, but breeders are always welcome to come out and see the stallions that hopefully they'll breed to in the spring. You can call the office, and they'll set you up with the tour of the stallions, but also you can do the fan tour as well at 10 and 11 o'clock in the mornings. And like you said, we're always very busy this time of year. Yesterday when I was leaving the farm to go out to the track, you know, there was people everywhere. So it's great to see the fan involvement and enthusiasm, and it's a good deal.
Walker, all of our guests who appear on the program receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. I'm going to ask you before we send you the gift, what is it about this game and this sport and this industry that makes you embrace the race?
You know, it's just like one of these days today. This morning, you wake up, a lot of good racing today. You got a couple in. It's very exciting. The Breeders' Cup's right around the corner. It's a very fun time of year. So it's always fun to see the horses you raise on the farm succeed at the track, and that's what we're looking forward to today, hopefully.
Yeah, and an absolute honor for Horse Racing Radio Network to be associated with Claiborne. We can't thank you enough for all your support. Thanks for being with us here this morning, my friend, and go get it done at Keeneland. Get closer to that next level. I know you're getting there.
Well, we'll do our best. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks for all you do.
All right, Walker Hancock here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. How classy. It's the Hancock family.
Oh, it's a great family. It's a great farm and organization. I'll never forget the first time I went to Claiborne Farm. It was BW as well, before Walker, 1978. I'm happy to say, though, that I wasn't alive in 1933.
Huge.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's big. Contrary to what most people may think.
Right.
Not the
right.
case.
Well, that was the year my mother was born, so it would have been a little complicated. But in any case, you know, I go out to Claiborne Farm with Alan Buchtall, who was the race caller at Santa Anita at the time, and he was also calling the races at River Downs, and that's why we were there. So we go to Claiborne and go out to the field, and Secretariat's down by this tree, and he starts running up towards us, and he comes up, and he's like all smiley over the fence, and I reach down, and I grab some grass and pull it up, start feeding it to him. I mean, it was just an unbelievable feeling to be there and to be with Secretariat, you know, for a few minutes, and something I'll never forget.
Well, this is typically the time when we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story with my mentor and the late Pete Coolis. But in deference to all of our special guests, and because we want to make sure we bring you the Dwayne Lucas interview in its entirety here in a few minutes, we're going to bypass the story. We will have a word from the Lexus store of Lexington, but I can tell you that if you are here in the Bluegrass and you are even considering a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, you're going to want to go see the godfather, Tony Attiano, and everybody at the Lexus store of Lexington. Mike Hendricks, they are all horse people at the Lexus store. Tony and Mike, they are both in the industry. They've been in the industry for many, many years. They will talk to you about horses. They'll talk to you about the game. And then maybe at some point you'll get to take a look at one of the brand new Lexuses that they have at the Lexus store of Lexington. And, you know, the vehicles speak for themselves. But keep in mind, Lexus committed to supporting the horse industry here in Central Kentucky. They are the sponsor of the Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland, which comes up in just a couple of weeks. You'll hear that race with us here on the network. And they, of course, have a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store, so you can enjoy some shopping while you're there, too. Check them out. It's the Lexus store of Lexington, the godfather, Tony Attiano, all the great people. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for our next big night of racing on Saturday, October 14th for the 31st annual West Virginia Breeders' Classics. $1 million will be up for grabs as the best horses West Virginia has to offer will square off in nine state-bred stakes races, headlined by the $350,000 West Virginia Breeders' Classic and the $125,000 Cavada Breeders' Classic. So mark your calendars for Saturday, October 14th for Breeders' Classics Night here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their two-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state-bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit VABred.org for details.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere. All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and classic-placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker, standing at Gainsway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Midway on the far turn, Shake of Shakes has the lead by 2.5 lengths. Rated R Superstar travels in second. Exaggerator now tries to wake up and change lanes from third. Looks toward the inside, stays down toward the rail. Now finds room between horses. Exaggerator and Rated R Superstar both running by to the outside of Shake of Shakes. Brody's Cause is coming late from fourth. Exaggerator the leader. Rated R Superstar, then Brody's Cause on the outside. Final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Brody's Cause a final try. Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
Mike Penna, Jude Fell, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment for the entire month of October. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Kurt Becker with the call of the 2015 Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Brody's Cause giving trainer Dale Romans his third victory in the race. And Jude, Dale is back this afternoon in search of number four with Free Drop Billy, who is 2-1 on the morning line, a horse who has been second in Greatest Stakes Company in each of his last two outings, but now gets the chance to go two turns for the first time.
Yeah, and he's a horse that's bred to go two turns, and you know, Dale's very excited about him. He's got a really nice string of two-year-olds this year, and he's going to be a trainer to watch out for as we hit the Kentucky Derby trail.
Well, no trainer in the 104-year history of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity has saddled more winners than Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas. He's done it six times. He will look to make it seven this afternoon when he sends out Longshot Bravazo for owner Calumet Farm. And yesterday I had the chance to talk to the coach, and I asked him, Coach, what's the secret?
Well, you know, Mike, our program is really geared to the two-year-old, you know, races pretty much. And then what we try to do is in the fall, we try to always get a two-turn race if we can. You know, the hopeful, we've had eight of those winners, and but that's a one-turn race, and some of the others are one turn, and including the races in New York. But when you go into Keeneland, you get a two-turn race, which really equates very well for me to the Breeders' Cup if you have that quality of horse.
You know, I spent some time this summer with Nick Zito in Saratoga, and he was talking about the fact that a lot of people will come up to him and say, Nick, how come you've won so many Traverse Stakes? Or how come a guy like Dwayne Lucas can win a historic race so many times, like the Breeders' Futurity? And he said, you know, it's because we take our shot and we run in those races. Do you agree?
Yes, I think, and you have to point for him, too. You have to put the emphasis on him. You have to. It's kind of like when I was coaching, we would go down through our schedule and try to determine which were the key games and mark maybe four games out of the whole season. If we won these four, we would probably be okay and be successful. So even if we lost some of the others. So it's kind of that way with the horses, too. You know, you look at the Breeders' Fraternity, the Claiborne Breeders' Fraternity, it is so significant in such a important race right there in Lexington, right in front of all the breeders. And the horse industry in general is paying very, very close attention. And so we emphasize it. We look at it and say, look, this is one that is a pivotal race, so let's try to win it.
All right, some people are going to look at Bravazo and they're going to say, well, he's 30-1 on the morning line. He does exit that win at Churchill Downs impressively when he broke his maiden. And they're going to say, 30-1, what's the coach thinking? Why can Bravazo win the Breeders' Futurity?
Because I got two or three others that are on the shelf, but I think he's my best shot at this point in the season. That's pretty much it, if I'm being frank and honest. Sporting Chance, who is also a Grade 1 winner and won the hopeful, would have been our first choice, but he's sidelined for a while, and we're in for about 5 or 6 weeks, so we are, you know, going to concentrate on the one that is ready. Now, whether he's good enough to win it, we'll find out. Whether he's good enough to even place in it, we'll find out. But he's an honest horse, and he ran a very impressive race over at Churchill. So we're not looking at any grandiose ideas that he's going to overpower this group of horses. But at this time of the year, these two-year-olds have a tendency to step up once in a while, and he's one of those horses that probably has that quality and ability to do that. I think we need to give him a chance. He's a pretty damn nice horse.
When did you start to get the sense, Wayne, that he might be a bit of a runner and maybe this type of quality?
Well, when we ran him at Churchill, we thought he would run well, but he even surprised us the way he drew away. He looks to me like he wants the two turns, which so many two-year-olds at this time of the year have struggled with. He looks to me like the distance won't bother him. If he has an affinity for the Keeneland track, I think we can make a little bit of noise. But it's a step in the right direction. We get too caught up sometimes, Mike, in these two-year-old races, thinking that they're all an end to the season and so forth, when really we're really trying to develop a horse for the first Saturday in May, or maybe the Triple Crown Series, if you want to be honest.
Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Nobody has developed more young horses and more good young horses than Wayne Lucas over the years. Wayne, let's start, just spend a few minutes here looking back on some of those victories in the Breeders' Futurity. I mentioned the name Dance Floor in 1991, your first victory in the race. What do you remember about that day?
MC Hammer. That if you can remember that far back, that was MC Hammer's horse. Believe it or not, Dance Floor was already named when I bought him, and he belonged to the rap star MC Hammer, and the day was chaotic, trust me. MC showed up with his whole group entourage and in a leather suit and open all the way bearskin to his navel and jewelry hanging everywhere, and he showed up at Keeneland, and it was a spectacle, believe me.
I can imagine it must have been. That was kind of his thing, though, right? That wasn't the only race that he did that for, right? He would show up at other races the same way.
Oh, yeah. He showed up in the executive suite at Belmont the same way with many of the hard boots and the old good old boys club there. And he shook up everybody. And, of course, he had a great following. And so it was chaotic in the paddock and everything else. So he kind of stole the show, even though the horse won the race.
Well, it was the opposite end of the spectrum on the ownership side of things the following year, because you won it with Mountain Cat, who was owned by Overbrook Farm of William T. Young, who, look, I mean, here was a gentleman who was as classy as you would find in the sport of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, we went right to the other end of the spectrum. That's for sure. You know, the thing about that, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was when the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, I think, gave a $1 million bonus to the horse that swept the four Kentucky two-year-old races, the Ellis Park race, with four in a series. And I think that was the last one, and I think he got $1 million bonus that day, if I'm not mistaken. There were four races that you, this one in the spring at Churchill, maybe three or four that you had to sweep, but I think it was four, and I think he did that.
Well, you would come back a few years later and win the race in consecutive years yet again when you sent out Honor and Glory in 95, and then the following year it was Champion Boston Harbor in 96. Tell me about those two horses and those two particular races.
Well, Honor and Glory again represented Coolmore, which was, you know, a very significant, you know, clientele as far as their impact in the Kentucky region, of course, Lexington and the breeding industry as a whole. So that was a big one to win that with for them. And then Boston Harbor was one of the best horses we had for Overbrook, and he went on to be beat only a nose or a half ahead in the Breeders' Cup over at Woodbine. So he used that race to get to a really, really great race at Woodbine.
You know, you had another good one for Overbrook a couple of years later with Cat Thief, who won the Breeders' Futurity in 98. We know how good he became as he got later into his career. Tell me about Cat Thief.
Well, that's, again, Overbrook, and it was a homebred, which meant a lot to Bill Young and the whole, you know, Young family. We really liked that horse. That horse, you know, was actually third in the Kentucky Derby, won the Preakness, and so it was the stepping stone. That race at Keenan was really what sent him on his way to bigger and better things as he became three.
You know, as you look through the ownership group of the horses that you did win the Futurity with, one name stands out even more than Overbrook to me, and that's Bob and Beverly Lewis. You got them a victory in the race in 2004 with Consolidator. That had to be very special.
Very much. You know, when you win these, whether it's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, or which any of these significant grade ones, the thing that really, really I found out makes them special is if you can actually give that experience to the clientele that have supported you, given you good horses, worked with you, let you do what you want to do. That is the real satisfaction. You know, the first time you win it, you think it's you. And the second time or third time that you win one of those, you think, you know, this is a special day for those people that own the horse, that have put so much of themselves into the industry. And that is the one thing that I found. And even the Derby, when I won the Derby with Winning Colors, I thought, well, this is me. I've achieved something. After that, I got to thinking about it and thought, you know what? The second and the third and the fourth one were really special because of the Bob Lewis's, the Overbrooks, and the Coolmores, you know, family, that we were able to give them that ultimate experience.
Yeah, now you pair up with the likes of Calumet Farm with Bravazo, so the beat goes on. You go from one iconic operation and ownership group to another, Wayne, and I can imagine. I know you've accomplished so much in the game, but I can imagine there have to be times when you look back and say, did this really happen to me?
I think about it a lot. I think, you know, why me? And I'm 82 now, and I'm still very much, you know, into the game. And if it isn't this horse, we've got some good two-year-olds backing up Bravazo too. So we're just cocky enough, I guess is the word, or confident enough to think that we might have something to say with the three-year-old picture in the spring, which is the ultimate goal.
There's nobody better. He's D. Wayne Lucas. Wayne, really appreciate the visit here today. Appreciate the time. Go get number 7 Saturday afternoon.
We'll take a healthy run at it, and if we don't, we'll regroup and be back probably. We bought some good yearlings. That's what keeps everybody going. We got some yearlings, and so they'll be 2. And if it doesn't happen this fall, we'll look ahead and see if it won't happen next fall.
Good luck, my friend. Appreciate the visit. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, nobody like the coach, Dwayne Lucas. He's as enthusiastic about this business as ever, if you couldn't tell. And I just love spending a little time with him.
Yeah, you know, he's changed over the years. I've known him a long time, and he's a lot more candid now. It's almost like he figures, well, I'm 82. I can say whatever I want, which is really great. And, you know, it's his youthful exuberance always cracks me up, because he really seems more excited about the business now than he did when he was much younger.
Yep.
You know, he loves coming out. He loves training horses. He loves talking about them. And he's amazingly candid now. So it's really pretty cool.
Another trainer who has a couple of really good two-year-olds in his barn is trainer Ken McPeak. And he's going to join us when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and it is Honorable Treasure on the outside who takes the lead from Esmosh. Honorable Treasure and Robbie Alvarado strike the frontier, and they're opening up at the gate pole. Esmosh is second by a long way. Congruity is third. Then comes Witch Doctor, and fourth, it is Honorable Treasure. Opening up with each and every stride, leaving the competition behind. Honorable Treasure strong in the end, won it by six. As Mosh was second, Congruity was third. Heads were bobbing for fourth between Cullum Road and Witch Doctor.
The announcer, Larry Colmus, with the call of that maiden victory for Honorable Treasure, the son of Gainesway Stallion to Honor and Serve, also a Gainesway bred, winning for trainer Ken McPeak, and he's back in action later today in the Grade 1 Champagne at Belmont, looking to punch his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That's a race you're going to hear exclusively with us on the network. Coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and if you're just joining us, that coverage will air nationwide on Sirius XM 93 and on affiliates across the country, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, and, of course, on the Horse Races Now app, which was designed by our good friend Ken McPeak, who joins us now. Kenny, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Happy to have you on board, and let's start with Honorable Treasure, since we just heard that clip. Very, very impressive in that maiden win.
Yeah, hopefully we get that kind of result today. Of course, certainly a different level. But, yeah, this horse has really done everything right all summer, and into the fall here is going to be interesting, you know, but certainly a lot of talent.
What did he show you in that maiden victory that made you think he deserved a shot later today?
You know, he showed it before that race. You know, he worked in company with a horse named Oscar Blues, who broke his maiden first time out there at Saratoga as well, and he outworked Oscar Blues very easily on the Oklahoma track before that race. And, you know, we were thinking he was going to need two turns, but, you know, he's shown enough speed that it looks like he's going to be real versatile. And, of course, his 7/8 win at Saratoga was dynamic. So, you know, he's certainly a horse with a big future.
Yeah, he got a huge speed figure that day, breaking his maiden and you know, he's by to Honor and Serve out of a Dixie Union mare. He should go all day. Is that why you ran him on the turf first time, just to get the distance?
Yeah, no, really, my first instinct was he wanted to go further. You know, at that point in the meet, you either have to run five and a half or six furlongs at Saratoga. And so the options are pretty limited. I really felt like he was a horse that was going to need a stretch out at some point. But unfortunately, did not take to the grass all that well. Didn't surprise me, but I thought he could probably overcome it. And of course, with the shortened back up and back to the dirt, he did what he's supposed to do. So, you know, certainly a learning experience on the grass race.
Well, Kenny, you joined us back at the end of July for our trainer talk show. You spent an hour with us from up in Saratoga. And before you ended that interview, you said, "Hey, I have to tell you about this two-year-old that I have that I think is a serious horse, and his name is 10 City, and he goes postward in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity later today here at Keeneland. Talk to us about him."
Yeah, you know, his last couple of races have been a little disappointing in that he's gotten away from the gate a little awkward in both of them. At Ellis, you know, we decided to run there because he was doing so well, and he stumbled leaving the gate and pulled a shoe off in the first jump. And then, but he fought back, and he still ran a credible third. And then his last start, he got off a little awkward there too. He came out of the gate and he cross cantered the first couple of jumps, and then once he, you know, righted himself, he'd set himself behind the pace, but he kept fighting to run third again. So today I'm excited that he's at home on his home track. You know, here he's been stabled here at Keeneland all his life, and it certainly should be. You know, really good spot for him, and hopefully rebounds from those two thirds.
It was a nice race he ran last time, first time around two turns, and, you know, he showed a little bit of finish to him. A lot of people are worried about his pedigree, but I think, you know, he seems like a classy horse, and there's still a lot of upside for him.
Well, dude, were you ever around Rock Hard 10?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll never forget Rock Hard 10. I was at Keeneland. I was working in the press box, and the races were over, and I look up at the TV, and I see this horse in the post parade. It's just a magnificent-looking horse, and Gary Stevens is on him. He's 7-1, and I knew nothing about him. He was a first-time starter, and I just went to the betting machine upstairs and started putting money in, and he won for fun, and I was a huge fan.
Rock Hard 10 mare, and he looks like a Rock Hard 10, and he, you know, truth is that he probably is going to need more time to develop, but he's shown so much raw talent. I mean, if he doesn't punch his ticket to the Breeders' Cup, I see us giving him a little time to, you know, let him grow up. And, you know, today it'd be interesting, certainly. But he's more of a Rock Hard 10 than he is a City Zip, which is a sire line. So for those out there that are learning those things, you know, pedigree, it's an interesting cross the way he's bred.
Yeah, well, he's got the distance on the bottom side and speed on the top. Pretty classic idea of breeding right there.
Yep, for sure.
Talking with trainer Kenny McPeak here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kenny talked with Dwayne Lucas in the previous segment, and I asked him what the secret was to winning all of these Claiborne Breeders' Futurities that he's been able to do. He's won it six times, and he talked about his program being geared toward success with the young horses. You've kind of, I don't want to say taken that same approach, but you've had a lot of success with your young horses. So what's the key?
Well, I like getting horses prepared to go longer in the fall. I mean, you know, I think it's a lot of, well, certainly you need horses with talent, but, you know, teaching them the routine and when to run and how to run. And, you know, you've got, when you've got a depth of numbers too, certainly is a big deal. And of course, Wayne's had that. We're at this stage. We've had that over the years, but, you know, especially here at Keeneland, now teaching horse to lead from the wire, gallop a turn, finish down the lane, and those type of things certainly gives you a little bit of an advantage. And if they're fast, then all the better.
We're still 210 days away from the first Saturday in May. You don't look that far ahead at this point in the season, do you?
You know, you get a young horse that you put through the paces and you've asked him to do certain things, and I do think Cream rises to the top to some extent. And as far as horses and which ones are going to be set for Triple Crown or, you know, the classic, whether it's Colts or Phillies races in the spring, you start getting an idea this time of year. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you've taken 10 City from 4.5 to 6 to 7 to a mile on the 16th. I mean, that's very traditional, old school training, just stretching him out, giving him time. And it wouldn't be shocking if he had a breakthrough race today.
Yeah, we really do need to have him step up another notch, though. And I do think that if I had to redo it, I probably would have skipped the race at Ellis this summer, but that's hindsight. And, you know, this next couple of starts this fall, I mean, we've got between now and the end of Churchill to even learn a little bit more about him. And you know, depending on how he runs today, the next step's going to be interesting, too.
Kenny, you've been racking up the frequent flyer miles in recent months. Made a trip to Tattersall's recently, just got back, 2 days ago, I guess. Jude said he saw you do an interview on television yesterday, and you looked fresh as a daisy. How are you avoiding all the jet lag?
I eat healthy. Can you believe that?
No, not at all.
hasn't had a yolk in 30 years.
Yeah, right. Red wine. you know, I don't know. You know, actually, we had a 22-hour point-to-point getting from Newmarket back to Lexington. And, man, I was tired. But I got about 5 really good hours of sleep when I got home, and then the alarm went off, and I came to the stable, made the first set here at Keeneland yesterday, and actually feel pretty good. You know, got another good night's sleep last night. First time I've been home in forever, it seemed like. And, you know, I'm really lucky. Actually, this year went to Dubai to run one. You know, that trip was paid for by World Cup, the Dubai World Cup. Went to Korea. That trip was paid for by KRA, Korean Racing Association. Tattersall's gave me some spending money to come over and back for that sale, and that's a real honor to work something like that. And then, I don't know. I mean, then we went to Ascot with That Is Old Darling, and I'm like, I kind of get paid to do this? This is crazy, right? That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's good to be Ken McPeak these days. Kenny, good luck this afternoon. Let's see if you can't get this trip paid for by Breeders' Cup, that trip to Del Mar.
There you go. Punch my ticket.
All right, good luck. Thanks for the time, buddy.
All right, guys.
All right, Ken McPeak, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com. When we come back in hour number two, we're going to be joined by Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, and Steve Castagnola to handicap all the big races at Keeneland and Belmont coming up later this afternoon. And don't forget, you can weigh in on our poll question right now at HRN on Twitter. Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook is the way to do that. And the poll question is, well, quite simple. We want to know which of the morning line favorites in the big races today you feel is most vulnerable. And here are your choices. Finley's Lucky Charm here at Keeneland in the TCA. Free Drop Billy in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Keen Ice, who is the likely favorite in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Or you can choose other, and if you do that, let us know who you think may be vulnerable. Well, Keen Ice, the leader in the clubhouse by a mile right now. 59% of HRN Nation saying they feel as if Keen Ice is the most vulnerable morning line favorite out of those choices. Any surprises?
Not to me. That's who I voted for.
Keen Ice. Wow. All right, well, we're going to take a short little respite here. We'll be back. Hour number two kicks off next, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And Elate has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. Elate dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Arrogate is getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Very busy morning rolling on. It's all presented by your friends at Woodbine Entertainment, and we are happy to have you back with us this morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. 210 days, 9 hours, 47 minutes, and 35 seconds away from the 2018 Run for the Roses, but only 27 days, 5 hours, 22 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar. And as we told you at the top of the show, it is very, very simple this weekend. Win, and you're in.
Yes. It's very simple.
It is that simple.
I can't expound on something so simple.
There is no reason to. That's
absolutely
it. Absolutely. That's all you have to do. And Breeders' Cup Challenge action abounds at Belmont, Santa Anita later today. Keeneland here in the Bluegrass. Keeneland, of course, opened their fall meet yesterday. Had a couple of win in your ins yesterday afternoon, and now more action today.
Yeah, and tomorrow.
And tomorrow. Yeah, that's right.
Some more good races tomorrow.
All of our coverage this afternoon begins 4 o'clock Eastern here on the network, 4 to 6. You can hear those races from Keeneland and from Belmont. It's all presented by our friends at Breeders' Cup. And, of course, that coverage airing on Sirius XM 93 for those of you listening on satellite radio, on affiliates across the country, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Well, for more than, 20, 25 years, we've had the privilege of getting together with our good friends, Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, and Steve Castagnola. And the beat goes on. This goes on. This goes back to well before I started on radio, and it is an absolute privilege to be able to continue this tradition here on the show. And we're going to handicap all the big races. Those three gentlemen, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to go with a Pete Coolisism there. Guys, welcome back. Happy to have you on board. Michael, good morning. I'll start with Michael. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here. Lovely morning at Keeneland. Just got back over here from there. And good to see Kenny McPeak. And I know you just interviewed him. And fingers crossed for the Gainsway Turner and Serve Colt in the Champagne later, which we'll cover after the Keeneland races.
Johnny Gasper, good morning.
Yes, thank you. Good to be here. I think it's 35 or 6 years now.
Is it that long?
Yeah, 84 or 3 or something like that when Pete and, you know, if you remember, Pete used to do it from the hallway in the secretary's office.
Yes, yeah.
That's where it, you know, and he also, some might remember, he also did it every race day. He had about a 5 or 10 minute segment just on just every race day at Keeneland.
Yep.
From the same thing, and he would grab, you know, the jock's agent, trainer, steward, whatever, and try to get a little bit different perspective from everybody. And he was certainly a pioneer, no doubt about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Stevie Castagnola, good morning.
Good morning. Wonderful to be back. Fantastic card here at Keeneland. And just a quick shout-out to hopefully Horse Racing Radio Network's newest listener, former Kentucky football star and NFL player Jeremy Jarman was looking for some Keeneland picks. So hopefully, Double J, you're tuned in.
Hey, by the way, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, from what I understand. I saw a post on your social media about your daughter who was watching the Darley Alcibiades with you yesterday.
How about that? She noticed that the three was called Caroline the Great. My daughter's name's Caroline. She's 8 years old. And I told her she's 50 to 1. And if you bet $2, you could win 100. And she immediately responded with, how much do I win if I bet $5?
There you go.
Good stuff. I love that kid. All right, the stakes action at Keeneland begins with race number 5. It is the Grade 2 Woodford Stakes presented by Keeneland Select. 5.5 furlongs on the turf course and a field of 9 set to go to the post later today. Stevie, you want to kick it off over there?
Sure. I understand this may be our only Saturday of the meet where we get together, so I figured we'd take some chances with some prices. The one in here, Conquest Panthera, but first of all, it's a great race. 5.5 furlongs on the turf, always a fun event. And Conquest Panthera, definitely the class of this race. He's shortening up to a distance he's never tried before. I'm going to take a shot with number 2, Buchero. This horse has 2 wins over the distance, 5.5 on the turf. He's in good form. He's been running on the dirt recently, but he shows speed, and I think he's fast enough to maybe wire this field. He's got his regular jock, Fernando de la Cruz, in the irons. And I just think this horse is in good form right now. And I don't think the switch back to 5.5 on the turf, where he does have 2 wins, will be a problem. He's 15 to 1. And I'm going to take a shot on number 2, Buchero. And the 8-horse Hoagie is a horse that will be coming late. But he just seems to always come up just a tick short at Keeneland. He's tried it 4 times. He has 1 second and 1 third. I think Hoagie could be running late, but Buchero at 15 to 1, my selection in the Woodford.
It would be a big price. We'll see if we can pull it off. Johnny Gasper, you agree or disagree with that long shot play?
Well, you like anything in here, I don't think give him a chance, but I'm going to go with the 1 horse of Mark Cassie's, who could be hotter than him right now. And
yeah.
And I think that, you know, he's a kitten's joy. We know about the kitten's joys on the turf. And he's going to be he's going to save all the ground if he gets lucky and gets through. I know he's coming off of a mile race, so he'll be quite far back. If he get enough pace, I think that he'll certainly have a chance to run him down. And like I say, he's run against some pretty stiff competition in his last few starts. So I'm not saying that this is a class relief, but I'd give him a chance today. And he might be more than 7-2, too.
Any issues with breaking from the inside post going 5.5 at Keeneland?
He'll just break and sit there, you know. And like I say, he's going to have to get, you know, he's going to have to get the trip, obviously, and a little bit of a pace. But we know that a lot of these horses, you know, a lot of these races are always won from horses that come from back, these 5.5 races.
Yep.
So I'll give him a chance in there.
And, of course, you have the defending champ Mongolian Saturday in this race, too. Michael Hernan, what do you think of the Grade 2 Woodford?
I entirely agree with John. It'll set up for a stalking closing horse, and I think I have to go with the 6, Mongolian Saturday, bred by our neighbor Nancy Polk at Normandy Farm. He's 2 for 3 at Keeneland. He's won this race before. You've got Javier Castellano in the irons. I mean, he's just such a superb turf rider and rider, period, but he seems to excel in some of these turf races, and Mongolian Saturday should be charging to the wire.
Yeah, the newly minted Hall of Famer, Javier Castellano. Good choice. Mongolian Saturday, the defending champ for Michael Hernan. JT?
Well, you know, Bobby Frankel and Mike Mitchell have both passed away, so you don't see people claiming 8-year-old horses for $80,000 anymore. But Mike Maker did it, and in Bobby Frankel style fashion, however you want to say it, he paid for the horse with one race. He won the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint, and that was, I believe, a $300,000 or $350,000 purse.
Yeah.
So they paid for the horse. Unbelievable. I think he's going to win again. It was a tremendous performance. I know he has come up short at Keeneland before, but you know, he's in different hands now, and I think he's going to run another big race.
Many people, when they go to Keeneland or to any racetrack, like to bet on jockeys. Well, if you're looking for the jockey who might be most likely to win this race, it might be Jose Lescano, not Javier Castellano, because Jose has won the race each of the last 2 years with Amelia's Wild Ride in 2015, Mongolian Saturday last year. He's not aboard Mongolian Saturday today, though. He's going to be aboard number 3, Commend, for Hall of Famer Bill Mott. So maybe a play right there with Jose Lescano in the Woodford. All right, race number 6 is the Thoroughbred Club of America. That's a grade 2 with a purse of $250,000. 6 furlongs on the main track, a field of 8 set to go. Huge, huge morning line favorite in here. Number 4, Finley's Lucky Charm, who is 3-5. Johnny, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, and she's probably the horse to beat. I mean, she's so consistent. If you look down there, she just, you know, she's very, very fast. And I know it looks like there's some fast horses in here, but I'm not sure that they're that kind of fast. I think it's her race to lose, really. I mean, Brett Calhoun's done a really good job with her, just kind of finding the right spots for her. And her race at Saratoga was a good race. She just, you know, just came up a bit short, but it was, she was dogged the whole way. If she can get a little bit of a clear lead and just get a little breather, I think she, you know, and it's not a play, obviously, as far as you're not going to, you know, pay for the mortgage or anything like that with this one. But, and there's some other, I mean, there's certainly some other horses, like Vertical Oak ran a tremendous race last time out in the Prioress up at Saratoga, but it was in the slop. But, and horses will win off in the slop a lot of times like that. You know, she's a nice horse, and I thought this race was, if you took Finley's Lucky Charm out, I thought it was a really tough race to handicap. And so, you know, I guess you gotta go with her just because she's so consistent.
Yeah, and if you're looking for an exacta horse, she's probably the one. She's raced 11 times, 8 wins, 2 seconds. So in the exacta, 10. Out of 11 for the favorite, Finley's Lucky Charm. Stevie C., what do you think?
I think she's clearly the one to beat in here, and probably the one to run down also. And as you both alluded to, just ultra consistent. She's a multiple graded stakes winner. She was beaten just a half length in a grade 1 La Brea out in California. And 8 wins, 2 seconds, and 11 starts. How would you like to own a filly like that? But as we're going for value today, we're going to go to the one Bendable. A lightly raced daughter of Horse Greeley, owned and bred by Claiborne Farm, ships in from California for Richard Mandela. She's done nothing wrong in her career, 7 starts. She's never been off the board with 4 wins. And she's going to be able to stalk the pace, I think, from the inside. She drew the rail, not a big field. And, you know, to see Richard Mandela ship one out here for Claiborne Farm, we all know how much Claiborne loves to win at Keeneland, loves to run at Keeneland. And that work on September 22nd, 6 furlongs, a bullet in 1:12, September 22nd in California. That, to me, shows that maybe was the tipping point to put her on the plane. She gets Javier Castellano in the irons at 6-1, lightly raced daughter with a ton of upside. For me, number 1, Bendable.
6-1, yeah, it would be a good win price if Bendable could get it done. Michael, what do you think of the Thoroughbred Club of America?
Clearly the favorite is the horse to beat. You know, she's 5-6 at the distance. She's class. She's consistent. She's fast. However, she will be 3-5. So looking for an alternate or maybe a horse to use in the exacta, I might go with number 2, Vertical Oak for Steve Asmussen. Philly was impressive in the Prioress at Saratoga. Admittedly, it was slop that day, but she's a graded stakes winner before that. She's a stalker. She closes quickly. And she's got a shot, but they've all got to beat the 4-horse Finley's Lucky Charm.
Jude, can they do that?
I really don't think so, but I'm with Michael on Vertical Oak. I thought she was visually impressive winning. I know she likes an off track, but she just overpowered that field. It was a really nice victory, and I like Ricardo Santana too. He's a very nice fellow and an excellent rider. So that's probably where I'd go. I'm going to pass that race as far as gambling is concerned, but I think Vertical Oak's the only one that has a chance against Finley's Lucky Charm.
Post time for that Grade 2 TCA, 4 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Pacific. It goes as race number 6. That's going to bring us to, in my opinion, a wide-open renewal of the Grade 1 First Lady. $400,000 on the line, 1 mile on that Keeneland turf course. That's a two-turn, one-mile race, field of 7 set to go. The morning line favorite, Roca Rojo, from the barn of trainer Chad Brown. And Johnny, what do you think? I'll start with you.
Well, I think there's going to be several. Like I say, I think it's a really hard race. I think there's probably 3 or 4 horses in here, or maybe more, that could win. I'm kind of leaning toward Donna Bruja for Ignacio Correas, and or Nacho, as everybody calls him. And she's turning back in distance a little bit. That's the only thing that kind of bothers me. I don't know if she's going to need a pretty good pace to run at. But Ignacio told me this is the best horse he's seen in Argentina in 25 years.
Woo.
So, and he is a very good horseman, very good. So I'm going to kind of go with her, I think, Donna Bruja. But, you know, like I say, Raja Rojo, I mean, she certainly could win, and so could, so could Dickinson. I mean, this is a good field of horses. I mean, it's not a big field, but it's a good field of horses. And but I'm going to go with Ignacio's horse, number 3, Donna Bruja.
Yeah, I'm going to go all in on Donna Bruja. She was beaten just a half length last time out in the Beverly D Grade 1 by DeCita, who runs this weekend in New York in, I believe, the Flower Bowl. That was at Arlington Park in August. She's trained locally here at Keeneland. She has Bullet Works on her work tab. I think there's enough speed in here. I think Zipessa, the 5, and Dickinson, the 6, will show speed. And as far as the cutback in distance, she's 3 for 4 at a mile with 1 second in 4 starts. So I don't think the mile's a problem, and I think she is probably the most likely winner on today's card for me, Donna Bruja.
So that's 2 votes for Donna Bruja in the First Lady. Michael, are you going to tag along or maybe go the other way?
Well, I'm going to drop down a little further on the program and go with Dickinson, who's like the track, graded stakes winner here at Keeneland on turf. She ran a huge race that day to defeat Lady Eli. Give her a big chance, daughter Medaglia d'Oro for Kieran McLaughlin. She's coming in here off a defeat by Lady Eli. It's top form. She's a top filly herself, and, you know, she won't be a huge price. Paco Lopez, her regular rider, is back aboard, and her style is just to come from off the pace, and lots of times at Keeneland, we see horses achieve success with that running style.
What do you think, JT?
Well, I'm a Donna Bruja fan until I talk to these guys. Now there's a lot of weight on her. Man. But she's a nice filly. I mean, I've watched her train Thursday. She's doing good. She looks fantastic. And I'm a big Ignacio Correas the 4th fan. He's a magnificent horseman, a really good guy. And I think she's going to be super tough today. But this is not an easy race. There's some really good fillies in here. Dickinson's terrific. Zipessa just ran Miss Temple City 2 and neck. Roca Rojo has been right there with Miss Temple City. Miss Temple City ducked this race to go against the boys. Of course, she is the defending champion in the Shadwell Turf Mile, but this is not an easy group. It's a very good race, and good luck to the Donna Bruja crew.
Yeah, we're going to hear Ignacio Correas talking about Donna Bruja coming up later this afternoon as part of our coverage, 4 to 6 Eastern, Sirius XM 93, affiliates across the country, and of course streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Make sure you're locked in, because the First Lady is all part of that coverage, and it is a good one. When we get to when we come back, we're going to take a look at a couple more races at Keeneland, the Breeders' Futurity, that's the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, and the Shadwell Turf Mile. And then we'll head up to New York and look at the Champagne and the Gold Cup in the final segment of the program. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for our next big night of racing on Saturday, October 14th for the 31st annual West Virginia Breeders' Classics. $1 million will be up for grabs as the best horses West Virginia has to offer will square off in nine state-bred stakes races, headlined by the $350,000 West Virginia Breeders' Classic and the $125,000 Cavada Breeders' Classic. So mark your calendars for Saturday, October 14th for Breeders' Classics Night here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
It's Fall Stars Weekend at Keeneland, featuring nine graded stakes, eight Breeders' Cup win in your in races, and $5.3 million in stakes purses. Saturday, play the guaranteed All Stakes Pick 4 and All Stakes Pick 5, along with an additional Pick 4 wager in conjunction with Belmont Park that includes the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, Shadwell Turf Mile, Champagne, and Jockey Club Gold Cup, plus Keeneland's new daily wager, the Rolling Super High 5. Visit Keeneland.com for details.
Santa Anita's Autumn Meet is underway, and we've got a big three-day weekend with special Columbus Day racing on Monday. Sign up now for our 2017 Autumn Handicapping Challenge over the weekend, and you can take a shot at up to $1.2 million in cash bonuses. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Our main event Saturday is the Grade 1 $300,000 Santa Anita Sprint Championship, and we'll also have a pair of turf stakes, the Obviously Mile and the Swing Time. First post time on all weekends is at 12:30. Great racing and great value. Welcome back to Santa Anita.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Leaving the others behind, a late dominates the Beldame.
Baldoro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
What a weekend for Darley stallion Medaglia Doro. His daughter, Elate, takes the Grade 1 Beldame at Belmont, and his two-year-old son, Bolt Doro, remained undefeated with a big win in the Grade 1 front runner at Santa Anita, making both Elate and Bolt Doro your Darley Taking the Reins for Performers of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia Doro is represented by five Grade 1 winners in 2017 and continues to lead all North American stallions in that category. Elate, Bolt Doro, and the brilliant Songbird are among Medaglia Doro's five individual Grade 1 winners this year. To learn more about Medaglia Doro and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, we have some talented two-year-olds. The free jock's probably the most accomplished so far. It's got a great record. He won big his first time out, second in the Sanford, and then come back in second in the whole four to get beat ahead. And, you know, that's a great race. I really like to have on the resume. But he's a real athlete. That's the best thing about him. Not the biggest, strongest colt we have, but he just does everything so easy.
That's trainer Dale Romans talking about Free Drop Billy, the morning line favorite for the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity later this afternoon at Keeneland. Post time for that race is 5:10 Eastern. It goes as race number 8 on a stellar Saturday afternoon of Fall Stars weekend. Going to tell you more about that race in just a minute with our guest handicappers, Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, Stevie Castagnola. We'll do that momentarily. right after we remind you that there is absolutely no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than with Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which Blood Horse brings it to you. Their website, bloodhorse.com, the Blood Horse Daily app, which is updated throughout the day with news, race results, and more, or you can have the Blood Horse Daily delivered to you in an email. Both are free. Then there's Blood Horse Magazine and there's social media. You can follow Blood Horse on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Blood Horse, bloodhorse.com. All right, guys, let's take a look at that Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. 13 horses were entered into this race, and a 2-1 morning line favorite. It has the look of a Breeders' Cup type race. It's a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Stevie, why don't you take it first?
Well, my selection is going to be number 9, Free Drop Billy. I was part of the team along with Barry Berkelhammer and Lisa McGreevy and trainer Dale Romans that selected him from the Gainsway consignment. He's a horse that he's getting better every day. He's training fantastic. When we bought him, he was purchased basically with an eye towards his 3-year-old year being by Union Rags. He's a half-brother to a very good horse in England called Hawksbill, who's a grade one winner. So everything he's done to this point has been a bonus. We're excited to stretch him out around 2 turns. But, you know, a race like this with 13 horses, it's a short run to the first turn, and it's a short run to the short stretch finish line at Keeneland. So we're going to have to get a trip. One thing I do like is our connections. We did win the race 2 years ago with Brody's Cause for the Albar Family Stable. And Dale Romans just notched up 800 wins at Churchill Downs to become the all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs, and congratulations to him. And Robbie Alvarado just notched up his 500th win at Keeneland, and congratulations to him. So we feel like we've got the right team, and we're just looking for the right trip, and hopefully he will run on 2 turns and get it done.
Yeah, Robbie joining the likes of Hall of Famers Pat Day and Don Brumfield. So congratulations to Robbie Alvarado for that milestone victory yesterday. Johnny Gasper, the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, pretty wide open, really. What do you think?
I think so, too, and I wouldn't take a short price on any of these horses in here. I think that there's several of them in here that, you know, there's a lot of horses in here that are bred to go long, but there's only 2 horses that have won around 2 turns, and one of them was on the turf. So, you know, like I say, you got to prove it. You got to do it. So, And like I said, we were talking earlier, I think the break is going to play a big part in this. You have to get some type of position, I believe, to get to the first turn. And if you look down in through the PPs, just about every one of these horses have been somewhat close to the pace in their career. So it's going to I think that's going to determine on that may determine on who the winner is. Given when they get to the first turn, but there's several horses in here that, you know, like I say, that could win. I mean, there's even a couple of maidens in here that, you know, they must think highly of them, like Asmussen's horse Lionite. I mean, he's been second and third at Saratoga, going 3/4 and 7/8, and you know, he must think a lot of him to put him in here. And the horse of Brad Cox, Esmosh, you know, he ran very good at Saratoga against Sporting Chance, who obviously came back to win the hopeful up there, and Honorable Treasure, I believe he's in the Champagne today, so he's been keeping pretty good company, and he ran very well last time out of Churchill, and it was a 1-turn mile, as we said. But I mean, there's several horses in here you could like, but I think that whoever you like, you say, I wouldn't take a short price on any of them, because the trip is going to be very important.
Yeah, the trip, and we talked about this during the commercial break before we came back. This is a 1-16th race at Keeneland, which means that you have a shorter run into that first turn, and you also have a short stretch run, too, so that can all play into it. Michael, when you look at this race, who best fits the profile of a winner on that racetrack?
Well, I have to mention Stevie's horse, Free Drop Billy, bred by Helen Groves, raised at Middlebrook, and sold at Keeneland by Gainsway, and he's an improving horse. He's got 3 super works at Churchill here recently. Looks like he's really improving, and I think the distance stretch out will suit him. But he must break sharp. He's in the 9 hole. That first turn comes up pretty quick. So if he does those things, he's very live. However, he's going to be 2-1 or 5-2. And if you go back to the two-horse, Esmosh, who John mentioned, his form could be endorsed earlier, prior to this race, when they run the Champagne, because the horse he ran second to up there, Honorable Treasure, who won six lengths that day by Tanner and Serve, who's trained really well. We'll get to that a bit later, but there's real key connections on the form. Esmosh is easing the two-hole under Javier Castellano, and he's got 22 sort of early pace. He's a speed horse. He'll get the rail, and that is a huge advantage here at Keeneland. Don't forget, you know, they'll run around that turn and finish at the first finish line. So that's pretty critical, you know, having contending speed. So I would think at 6-1 on the line, and Brad Cox continues to improve his percentages. He's firing at 26% right now, which is very strong. And at 6-1 on the line, and with the connecting form, I look for Esmosh to give people a good value bet across the board.
Yeah, and as we know, these young horses can improve leaps and bounds from start to start at this point in their career. Jude, as a former trainer, you know that better than anybody. Who wins the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity?
Well, I'm kind of on Esmosh as well. I think the race goes through Sporting Chance, however. There's three horses that have raced against Sporting Chance, and Sporting Chance would have been the heavy favorite in here had he run, but he got a little chip, and Wayne Lucas has given him some time. But Give Me a Minute is a maiden, but ran against Sporting Chance twice, finished second first time, beaten 2 1/4 lengths, finished third the second time, and the hopeful beaten the neck. I think we must consider him, Dallas Stewart, a masterful trainer with this type of horse. By Star Guitar, a name out of the past, but a very solid Louisiana horse, and this horse is Louisiana bred. Also, Free Drop Billy, you know, he ran against Sporting Chance in the hopeful, got beat a neck. And then Esmosh, who ran first time out against Sporting Chance, finished third, going 5.5 furlongs. As he's increased in distance, his races have gotten better. He finished third, he finished second, he finished first. Last time out, he got a 95 Brisnet speed figure, everything heading up 76, 88, 95. Lots of reasons to like him, including the track configuration and all that, plus Javier Castellano and Brad Cox. So Esmosh is my top pick, but I wouldn't be shocked if any of the horses that ran against Sporting Chance won this race.
All right, this is the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Comes up 5:10 Eastern again, all part of our coverage from 4 to 6 here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We do have just a minute here before we have to segue into our next race, the Shadwell Turf Mile. But when you take a look at these younger horses and you talk about the development that we talked about, guys, when you start looking at horses that are stretching out, there's several in here, right, that are going from, say, sprint races like 7 furlongs. Now they're going to go 1 1/16 to go 2 turns for the first time. A lot of people will ask me, how do you interpret that? What's the key to finding a horse that's going to be successful at longer distances? Stevie, what are you looking for when you look at a race like that and a horse like that?
Well, I think the first thing you got to look at is pedigree, you know, but that can fool you, because there are horses that are bred to go long that don't want to do it, and horses that don't appear to be bred long that will. And what you see here is when this time of year, when a two-year-old wins, and you're seeing it even with maidens coming in here, you want to take a shot and you want to find out. A perfect example is the 3 Lone Sailor. Here's a horse who's by a Majestic Warrior out of a Mr. Greeley mare. So you wouldn't think he's bred to go 2 turns. He broke his maiden at Saratoga in the slot by 11 lengths. So, but where do you run him? There's no A other than. So you've got to find out, will he go long? So I think when you're looking at it from a handicapping standpoint, you're looking at pedigree and seeing who is bred to go long, but, you know, there's no secret syrup to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, they'll surprise you sometimes for sure. All right, following the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity, we'll bring you coverage of the Shadwell Turf Mile and another outstanding grass race at Keeneland, and no better setting for grass racing here in the fall than right here in Lexington, Kentucky, in the Bluegrass. The Shadwell Turf Mile, $1 million, 1 mile on that Emerald Green Turf Course. A field of 14 entered into this race, including the defending champ, Miss Temple City, who will try to knock off the boys yet again. John Gasper, Can she do it?
Oh, yeah. She can do it all right. I mean, she's kind of come back to her form a little bit. The trip over there to England, I don't know, that didn't really work out for her. And racing the matchmaker was pretty good. It's not that bad. And then she came back down in Kentucky Downs and ran a good race. So she's kind of come back to her form somewhat. But my top choice is going to be the 10-horse, heart-to-heart, for Brian Lynch. He's a speed horse. I think that he's getting a new rider today in Florent Garreau, but if he can give him one of those gun runner rides, that's what's going to happen.
Because
I know that they'll, you know, he's a very fast horse. I think that, you know, if he gets any kind of a decent lead at all where he's not pressured, I think he's going to be awful tough to beat. It doesn't matter. Like I say, you look down there, he's just a really, really consistent horse, and he's run some pretty good horses. And there's a horse in there that beat him called American Patriot but American Patriot drew like number 14 on the outside. So I'm going to go with heart to heart. And, you know, he's a decent price, I think, at 7-2.
The outside post position going a mile on the grass here at Keeneland, huge detriment, or can a horse from the outside overcome it?
Not for this horse.
Not for heart to heart.
No.
You mentioned American Patriot breaking.
Oh, yeah. I think that.
Not good.
I mean, well, normally, I mean, how many times, you know, you're taking away the worst of it, but he doesn't have a lot of speed. So he's going to hopefully tuck back in there somewhere and hope to get through, you know. And Bravo rides the turf really, really well.
Yeah.
Excellent. He's one of the underrated turf riders, I think, in the country. He really rides it well. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him come running late, but he's going to, you know, have to get lucky with the trip.
Yeah, American Patriot racing in the colors of Windstar Farm. We'll see if he can pull off a bit of an upset later today in that Shadwell Turf Mile. But heart to heart, the pick for John Gasper. Stevie, how about you?
Yeah, 14 of them going in here, going a mile, and it's going to be a cavalry charge. And there's going to be, as they say, one winner and 13 that should have won. It's going to be a jockey's race. I think the most likely winner is going to come from either the 7 or the 8. I'm going to take a slight lean towards the 7, Mondaliste. What a huge effort right off the plane last time in the Woodbine Mile. Hadn't raced, was basically coming off a, he wasn't coming off a layoff, but you know, it was rallying, ran fourth, was only beaten 3 lengths, got a huge number. And a race similar to that in here, I think, will be good enough, a Son of Galileo. So Mondaliste, I'll give a slight edge to Mondaliste. Miss Temple City, I loved how Jude put it earlier in the show, that when you look at the form, you don't want a better, but she's definitely a sentimental pick, and good luck to the Feld family and everybody involved with this filly. She's what an amazing mare, bred by those guys, and she's a pleasure to watch run, and I wish them all the best of luck, and she would not surprise me one bit, and deep down I'll be cheering for her. But there's a couple of long shots in here that I want to give a mention to. Number 4, Le Ken. Is listed at 30-1 on the morning line. This horse must have needed his last race. It was 8 months since he had run, so he was coming off a long layoff. He's been training here locally. He's got bullet works. He's a little bit of an unknown commodity, being an Argentinian bred, but he's 30-1. And then also the 12 Offering Plan. This is a New York bred, was bred by a good friend of mine, Chris Swan. And this horse is going to get tested for class today, but he's got sneaky good raggers and numbers. And if you can get Chad Brown and Javier Castellano on the turf in a grade 1 at 15-1, well, you're not going to fool me. I think this horse is going to have to get a trip. So I'm going to play 4 horses in here. I'm going to play a 4-7-8-12 box.
All right, Michael Hernan, what do you think, Shadwell Turf Mile?
Okay, I'm going to give you an outsider, mainly because he's ridden by John Gasper's favorite jockey, the 3 horse. Sidois, he's a first-time Lasix, which is significant. He won his last start at Leopardstown in Ireland, which is a left-handed track similar to Keeneland. You'll note there on the line the 2 horses who finished behind him came back to win their next race, so it's a legit Group 2. He's won at a mile. He was second in his only other mile attempt. He's got a top rider for David O'Mara. He's 15-1 on the morning line, and I think he's very live at a good price. And Don't overlook him.
And has the services of what, Daniel Tudhope? Is that right, Johnny?
My favorite. He's my favorite guy.
Is that sarcastic? Or
no,
is that,
he's my favorite
he really
guy.
Is.
Oh, yeah, he's top shot. He's top shelf, man.
I think it's important, too, that he's not riding Mondial East.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a
well spotted there, too.
Well, you got to get up awful early. I know you're usually in bed when I get up. But I think that said a lot to me. Plus, he's got a 117 Racing Post rating, which is pretty good. I mean, it's second to Mondial East 118. But I think you hit the nail on the head there, Michael, and that makes you a 5-horse box now. That's going to cost you more money. But Hernan will return it if that horse doesn't finish 1-2-3, okay?
It's one of the money back races.
Money back races, yeah.
Who's the Pontiff thing?
Well, you know, my heart's in San Francisco with Miss Temple City. I mean, yep. I went to Temple City High School. I lived in Temple City most of my life. But actually, you know, I never liked Miss Temple City on paper. I love her when she wins. But on paper, her numbers are never as good as the other horses in the race and whatever. But she's just got that big heart. And I will tell you, she's doing very, very well right now. I think Heart to Heart has a big chance. He scares me to death, that horse. And we don't have a great relationship. I bet on him, he loses. I don't bet on him, he beats me. But he's a very good horse. I talked to Brian Lynch this week. Brian's really happy with him. He thinks there's not enough speed to hinder him in there, and I think he might be right.
Before we switch to New York, I wanted to give John Gasper a chance to give out the Puerto Rican try in the 10th race. In the 10th race today, there's $1,000,005 sales purchase, Curlin's Honor. But we all know, if you've been listening, that John loves the Puerto Rican Try, and here's a perfect opportunity as the three five eight, the five is named Puerto Rican Style. So, John, the Swami angle, what do they do in the last race, John?
There you go.
What do they bet? Tell them what they bet.
Yeah, well, they bet the Puerto Rican Try, the 3-5-8.
There it is. Go to the window. Get out money.
There you go. 10th race at Keeneland. Why not? Take a shot.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we will look at the Champagne and the Jockey Club Gold Cup in New York. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Three-time graded stakes winning millionaire Ironicus defeated 20 grade one winners. In the Dixie Stakes, he defeated Canadian champion and horse of the year Up With The Birds and set a new course record at Saratoga. Runner-up in the grade one Manhattan and Shadwell Turf Mile, Ironicus ran 7 triple-digit buyers, including the Fort Marcy Stakes. Half to 4 graded stakes winners, Ironicus has the speed, class, and bloodlines to become the next great sire by Distorted Humor. Ironicus at Claiborne Farm.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing,
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Adena Springs Stallion Point of Entry. A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of two-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish, and Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dinah Former and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
To the end of the stretch, Matt King Cole taken on by Shaman Ghost. And Shaman Ghost has gone on by Keen Ice, has made a huge run on the outside. And he's right up alongside of Shaman Ghost, and now Keen Ice is in front. Keen Ice by the 16th pole clear. Shaman Ghost left behind, and look at him run away. Keen Ice wins the Suburban by 4. He beat Shaman Ghost, Follow Me Krev, and Watershed in a final time of 202.02 seconds.
Larry Colmus bringing them home in the Suburban. That was 2 starts ago for Keen Ice, who dominated that race. We'll see if he can dominate the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup later this afternoon. That race coming up 5:23 Eastern. We have you covered exclusively here on the network. Your home for all the Breeders' Cup Challenge action later today from Keeneland and from New York. You can tune in 4 to 6 Eastern. If you're just joining us, that coverage is on Sirius XM 93. That's a different channel than you're listening to right now. Sirius XM 93 on affiliates across the country and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, don't forget, next Sunday you can watch and wager on the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International live from Woodbine. That weekend, nearly $2 million in purses are going to be up for grabs on a card that also includes the Grade 1 EP Taylor and Grade 2 Nearctic Stakes. Woodbine will have large guaranteed pools that afternoon as well. They'll be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. And you can also give that jackpot high five a go. It's a wager with huge potential for big pool payouts. Watch and wager on the Pattison Canadian International, First Post, 1 p.m. next Sunday, October 15th. You can visit woodbineracetrack.com for more information. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. Michael Hernan from Gainesway, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola are with us to look at the big races in New York. And the Champagne, which is race number 8, goes postward at 4:13 Eastern time, 1 mile on the main track, and a field of 12 two-year-olds looking to punch their ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Johnny, how'd you see the Champagne?
Well, I am going to say that there's a horse in there called Hazard. He's a Warfront, and normally you think of Warfronts running on the turf, but this horse obviously ran on the dirt and ran well up there at Saratoga, and I think it was probably the toughest maiden race of the meet. And the horse that was second behind him is also in there, called Good Magic. Now, Chad told me prior to the race that this was his best one-turn horse, his best two-year-old one-turn horse.
Good Magic.
So Good Magic. So he, you know, he didn't embarrass himself. He ran second. Obviously, he was a very short price. Todd's horse beat him that day. It's going to, I think it's going to go between those two horses. I think it, I think that those two horses are the horse to beat. They're, I don't know whether they're going to be favored or not, but those would be my two choices. Hazzet and Good Magic. And I think that there was, I think that the first four horses out of that maiden race are all going to be stakes winners eventually. So I'm kind of going all in on those two.
All right. Key race. Michael Hernan, what do you think of the Champagne?
I'm going to go for the home team angle here, but a legitimate horse trained by Kenny McPeak, who does a great job buying yearlings year in, year out. Of course, ably assisted by Rory Callis and Dominic Brannan. Gainsway, Anthony Beck, bred this horse. We raised him at Gainsway. Brian Graves put the finishing touches on him. He made 210. He's a son of Tanner and Serve, a dual-graded stakes winner at 2, Cigar Mile winner at 3, and Woodward winner at 4. And this colt has a gaudy buyer. He's got a 90 figure for his dominant six-length win at Saratoga. And the horse behind him, Esmosh, came back and was a dominant winner. And he comes in for Brad Cox, as we mentioned earlier on the show, into the Breeders' Futurity. Tanner and Serve colt, he's had three very good works since that big maiden win. He's had time to recover. He's had roughly 50 days. You listened to Ken McPeak earlier. This horse has speed. He won in 9 and change. He's going to stretch out another furlong, should be right up his alley. And I think he'll be tough to beat. And we're all in on Tanner and Serve and Honorable Treasure, who has had the two races and the time away. He's got the talent, and we just hope he's good, breaks well, and has good luck in running.
6-1 on the morning line for Honorable Treasure. Michael, I'll give you one more positive in his corner. You mentioned the 90 buyer speed figure. He earned a 97 Brisnet figure on the Brisnet PP, so serious racehorse, Honorable Treasure. Stevie, what do you think?
I think this race is wide open. And I'm going to take a shot with one of my favorite people in horse racing, and that's owner, co-owner, breeder, and trainer of the one, Cowboy Karma and Larry Jones, also co-owner Mike Presley. This horse has done not much wrong in three starts at Delaware Park. He broke his maiden by 12. He did stretch out last time going a mile at in Monmouth Park in the Sapling and was just beaten a length and a half. It's a one-turn mile, this race, and that essentially is almost like an elongated sprint race. So being by Kodiak Cowboy, he is out of an any-given Saturday mare, so you'd hope that he could stretch. He's already been two turns, so this is almost like a cutback in distance for him. Alex Citron has ridden him in every start. He's on again today, and Larry Jones knows a thing or two about shipping into New York and winning grade ones. At 12-1, a stalking trip from the rail, Cowboy Karma in the Champagne for Larry Jones.
Worth a shot, breaking from that inside post. JT, who wins the race?
Well, you know, we talked about this earlier. Every year at Saratoga, I fall in love with a horse, and sometimes it's Big Brown or Uncle Mo, and sometimes it's Realm. So, you know, I don't know where this horse fits, but has it just impressed me so much. He's a beautiful horse, very athletic, warmed up great at Saratoga, sent me to the windows, and you know, I've been all in. I've been waiting for this horse to run back for a long, long time, and really looking forward to watching him run today.
All right, we literally have less than 2 minutes, guys, to look at the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Short field, field of seven, Keen Ice, morning line favorite. So I'll just go around the horn. We'll get your top pick. Stevie,
Keen Ice, a bet against either the one, Diversify, or the up-and-coming three-year-old number four, Pavel.
All right, Johnny Gasper, what do you think?
I like Diversify. I like his last two races. Rick Violet does a very good job, and I think he's going to get a good trip and give him a chance today, 7-2.
New York bred, breaking from the inside. Michael, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Doug O'Neill's horse, the 4, the rapidly improving Pavel, son of Creative Cause. He was impressive at Parks. It was a tough day for Doug that day because, as we know, IRAP suffered a significant injury. He's come through the surgery. He's doing well. So a shout-out here for Pavel. He liked the distance. He's a great at stakes winner. He's improving at the right time of year. Look for him to step up.
I'm all in on Destin in Todd We Trust.
Ooh, there you go. All right. Again, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, part of our coverage this afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern time. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap this one up. But before we do, guys, want to say thank you for being with us again here today. As Stevie said earlier, might be the only chance we have to do this meet because of all the other guests that we need to have on talking about Breeders' Cup moving forward. But enjoy the day at Keeneland. Johnny, thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yep, don't forget Godfather. Just because they run on the flat doesn't mean it's on the level.
Stevie?
Always good to be here, guys. At least we got one in.
Michael Hernan, Gainesway Farm. Good luck today, buddy.
Thank you so much. And everyone, come on out to the races. It's a great sport, and it's unique time of year, and good luck with your bets.
And we'll be back to wrap it up right after this on the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on HRRN.
Santa Anita's Autumn Meet is underway, and we've got a big three-day weekend with special Columbus Day racing on Monday. Sign up now for our 2017 Autumn Handicapping Challenge over the weekend, and you can take a shot at up to $1.2 million in cash bonuses. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Our main event Saturday is the Grade 1 $300,000 Santa Anita Sprint Championship, and we'll also have a pair of turf stakes, the Obviously Mile and the Swing Time. First post time on all weekends is at 12:30. Great racing and great value. Welcome back to Santa Anita.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. I've spent the last 30 years of my life in the thoroughbred industry. I've been fortunate to be surrounded by great mentors and great clientele base and phenomenal horses as I've come up from the likes of Silverbolt Day to Captain Steve, and now for my own consignment, Malagasy, who was on the Derby Trail this year, and 3 2-year-old stake horses coming for us already. Several of the 2-year-old winners this year, including a very nice filly named Kelly's Humor, ran out of television at Ellis Park and the Dallas Park Debutante, and looks to have a very bright future going forward with Brad Cox and Bryken Don Thrash. We hang our shingle at most every sale east of the Mississippi River, and we hope to see you somewhere to buy your next stake horse. Stuart Morris consignment.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way.
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazara, sterling performance today. Tapazara and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazara puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazara has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway Stallion Tapazara. An emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazara was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tappet All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazara, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
Michael Hernan, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, all going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget to embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, wrapping up this edition of the Equine Forum. Very busy program. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us, including Walker Hancock from Claiborne Farm, Dwayne Lucas for taking the time for that very enjoyable interview in the first half of the program, and trainer Ken McPeak, and of course, Michael, John, and Stevie. Don't forget, if you missed any portion of the show, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast available for you to listen to at your leisure. Jude back this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern. You and I will be live from Keeneland. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, will be at Belmont, and we'll bring coverage of all those Win in Your End Breeders' Cup races, 4 to 6 Eastern, SiriusXM 93, affiliates across the country, and horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's going to be a great afternoon of racing. Don't miss it, whether live or with us.
Miss Temple City.
We can only hope.
Are you going to cry if she wins?
I don't know. Probably not.
It's been known to happen.
It's been known to happen. I cry at big horse racing events sometimes.
It's good radio.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You have a right to get choked up if she can pull it off.
I'll bring a hanky.
All right. Join us 4 to 6 Eastern time this afternoon. Again, head on over to horseracingradio.net for a podcast of this show and all of our programming. Follow us on Twitter at HRRN, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Our thanks to our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, Sean C., for handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.